stand here with Shandy, Shanders, Shenanigans, Shanty, Shendala Shandai. I've got 1,000 names for her, but she is a precious woman of God in this house, and you're going to be blessed by the things that she shares with you tonight. She has a great passion for what she does, and you could be just so proud of her. Would you give Shandy, come on, give her a big God bless you.
Thank you. So before I share about Indonesia, Pastor just mentioned really quickly, we are going to have Vacation Bible School. It's Friday and Saturday this year. We're going to try something different. It's August 19th and 20th. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then on Saturday, we're also having a little cookout from 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon for all the parents and families. We're going to do a Fear Factor theme, and it's for children first through sixth grade. So if you need more information, definitely come up to me. I don't bite. I promise. So I'm going to pray really quickly, and then I'll share about Indonesia. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you so much for family. We thank you so much for friends. And we thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor and I went to Indonesia, and it was a very, 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 very long flight. Long flight, but it was worth it. Before I say anything, I have the microphone, and I'm very excited to use it because I want to tell everybody right now that we have an amazing pastor. I would not be standing. Yes, go ahead. We have an amazing pastor, and I just wanted to emphasize that because I've traveled with Pastor all around the world, literally. And I just wanted to emphasize that we have an amazing pastor who has integrity, who loves people, and who loves God. And I just encourage you, if you have differences in the church or if you've struggled with worship or the sermon or the way he preaches or things you've heard, I just encourage you. Hold on. I'll get to it. I just encourage you. The church, when you come to church, it's not about your preferences. It's about God. It's about worshiping God. It's about learning more about God. It's not about judging other people. It's not about judging how they live or what they do. It's about coming to worship God and to learn more about God. And it's, yes, we come to church to get fed, but I also encourage you, when you come to church, ask God to use you. Ask God to be a blessing because you'll be more blessed when you're a blessing to someone else. So before I share anything about Indonesia, I just want you guys to know we have an amazing pastor, and I would not be up here. I don't even know where I would be if it wasn't for my pastor and my grandma. It would be scary, but I would not be here tonight. So I just wanted to share that first and foremost. Why missionary trips? I love missionary trips because they have changed who I am as a person. They challenge you, and it's a bittersweet challenge. One of my neighbors was walking by the other day, and she said, "What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Why do you love the challenge?" And I said, "I love the challenge because it changes who I am as a person, and it gets down to the core of who I am, why I do what I do, and why I believe what I believe." When you're out, when you're traveling 14 hours on a flight, with a 3-hour layover and then another 10-hour flight. I'm not kidding. You're exhausted. You're tired. You know, the real you comes off. There's no mask. It's just raw you. And I mean, that's why I emphasize Pastor, because I traveled with him so far. Missions trips changes who you are, and it challenges you. It challenges your faith. It challenges the core of who you are, because you have to fight to stay positive. You have to fight to have a good attitude. And something that's extremely helpful on missions trips and in life general is that you have to think very spiritually. The Bible talks about the armor of God and how we have to have the armor of God on. We have to know what the Bible says about us. We have to have the belt of truth. We need to know what God's word says about us, and we need to be prepared to fight for the enemy. Pastor had this worship call or the altar call tonight, and all I could think of is, church, we need to fight. We need to fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I feel like I always get on this topic, but we need to fight. We need to fight. We need to be ready to fight, because this world is getting darker and darker by the minute. And if we're going to come to church and we're going to love God and we're going to love people and we're going to make a difference in this world, we need to be ready to fight. And we're not fighting against people. We're not, when people are disrespectful or we have a bad day or we're dealing with things like that, we need to remember at the end of the day, we're not fighting against that. We're fighting against the devil. And when we do missionary trips, when we bless people, when we love people, when we forgive people that don't deserve forgiveness, that's fighting against the devil. And that's what makes the devil mad. So Absolutely. Mission trips get you out of your comfort zone. It shows you who you are. You learn more about yourself, and it helps you to be extremely grateful as well. It's the most bittersweet thing. So I'll give you a specific example. On Sunday in Indonesia, we had to get up. It was me and two other ladies. We had to get up super, super early because we were teaching the children. So we had to get up at, I think I got up around 5:30. We were at the church at 7. We taught the kids. We played Simon Says with the kids. And then we taught the regular service. So, I mean, we're going from 5. We had the kids service. We had the normal service. Then we had a leadership meeting. And then we had a parent meeting. So we're going all day. And as the day goes on and on, the churches are not air conditioned. And the churches aren't, we come in and, we go worship in our lesson. The churches are hot there. And the churches services are very, very long there. So it's hot and I'm sweating. And, not that I don't always sweat, but I'm really sweating there. And I'm dripping. And I'm like, Lord, I just need to go back to my room. And I need it. Like, I had a terrible headache. And I'm just fighting it. Shandy, suck it up. You're strong. Suck it up. Suck it up. And I'm to the point where I'm like, I need to go back to my room. I'm so tired. And then one of the ladies, I didn't think to pray. I was too mad to pray. I'll just be vulnerable with you. I was so tired and mad. I'm like, I just want to go back to my room. So I asked one of the ladies to pray for me. And she did. And I'm not being dramatic. I'm not kidding. Within 10 minutes, I felt a whole lot better. And so afterwards, he's like, do you want to go to the orphanage? And I'm like, no, I want to go back to the hotel. I'm exhausted. I'm just being real with you. So we go to the orphanage, and these kids are all over me. They're surrounding me, and they didn't want a thing from us. They just wanted to be held. They just wanted us to hold their hands. And I got to share that actual testimony there. I told the kids I felt terrible, and I asked the lady to pray for me, and I felt a lot better. So that was a huge blessing. And that goes back to you have to fight. You have to fight to have a good attitude. You have to fight to stay positive, and you have to fight when you don't feel good. My head was pounding. I never get headaches. I didn't know how to deal with it. But I got prayer. God answered my prayer, and I felt a whole lot better. And then one more thing about church. When I mentioned earlier we go to church, it's not about our preferences. We go to worship God. We go to get fed. We need fellowship. We need one another. But being in Indonesia and being in Ethiopia, Nepal, and the other churches around the whole world, it teaches you to be so grateful for what you have at home. It really, really does. We have an amazing church here, and God is moving. His presence was here tonight. His presence is here so often. His presence is at St. Anthony's, and we do life together here. I was just telling my friend, sometimes family's not going to be there for you, but City Church, what is our saying? We do life together, and we really do. We do life together. So being at other churches, being around the world also helps you to be more grateful for your church. So I have two. It's really hard for me to stay focused. So I got two points tonight. That helps me stay focused. So number one, and this is going back to the basics. We're going really back to the basics because this is exactly what God reminded me when I was gone. You are special to God, and that is really important. It's very simple. Of course I'm special to God. But we need to genuinely believe this in order to walk in our identity in Christ. If you don't know you're special to God, you're not going to know the purpose that he created you for. You're not going to know the gifts and the talents and the uniqueness that you bring into this world. When you know you're special to God, you can walk in that identity and you can use what he's given you to make a difference in this world. Psalm 139, a lot of us know this. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I feel like for so long I took that so lightly and it hit me really hard in Indonesia that I am fearfully and wonderfully made and that God has created each and every one of us to do great things. And I think so many of us believe we walk in lies. Satan lies to us and we think, oh, I'm nothing special. I don't have nothing to offer. I don't have any gifts. I can't sing. I can't dance. I'm not special. I don't have what they have. If you can love someone, you can make a difference. If you can love someone, if you can bless someone, if you can give someone a hug, if you can give someone a compliment saying, you look beautiful today, you can make a difference. When I was in that orphanage, they didn't want anything. They didn't want toys. They weren't looking for candy. They just wanted to touch you. They just wanted to be near you because at the end of the day, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, everyone desires to be loved. Everyone desires to be loved. And where I work, I'm reminded every single day that there's so many lonely, broken, lost people. There's so many people in the world that don't know Jesus. There's so many people that hate God because of what they've been through. We need to be the light. If you can love someone, if you can hug someone, if you can give a stranger a compliment, if you can bless someone, it's so simple. We just got to go back to the basics. We are the light of the world, and there's so much darkness in the world. All we have to do is love. If you can love someone, you can make a difference. And then secondly, God wants to use you. Romans 12:4-8 talks about the gifts God has given us. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. Each of you have a gift. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. Everybody has gifts. Everybody has special gifts and special abilities. And I was having a conversation with someone this week. If you don't know your gifts and you don't know your abilities, you want to know how you find them? You find them by serving. All you have to do is get involved. You volunteer. You get involved with the church. You come down here and help Chris Buzniak clean. You vacuum. Whatever you have to do, when you serve, you will find your gifts and your talents. When you give your life away, you will find it. And then a very important thing that I do want to cover before I hand the microphone over is healing. So when we're in Indonesia, we're using our gifts and our talents. We're also praying for people. If you were here on Sunday, Pastor talked about when my friend and I were shopping. And we're shopping. We're not even doing ministry. It was the last day, and we had some free time. We were shopping. And so Chantel comes over to me. She goes, "Shandy, the little girl is puking." It was a little girl, by the way. You said boy. Same difference. Not really, but kind of. So a little child. And she was puking. Chantel goes, "We should pray." And they're Hindu. Lots of Hinduism there. There's so many very demonic, ugly gods all over there. And so we go and pray for this little girl. And like Pastor said, they kept seeing us. So we pray for this little girl. They're looking at us. "Pray for me. Pray for me." You know, their neck or their shoulder. So we went on and on and on. We prayed for like 4 or 5 people because they saw us laying hands and they wanted to know, who was this God you're praying to? So we went out to dinner, or we went out to lunch. We got some food. We came back to get something that Chantel wanted, and the mom found us and told us the little girl was feeling better and all better. She was playing. So it was just super cool to show these people. They don't know Jesus. They know all these other gods. It was super cool to show them that Jesus' power can heal. So what if people don't get healed? I think this is really, really important to talk about. So what if we go out and we pray for people and people don't get healed? It's going to happen. It's going to happen because it's not about us. We don't heal. God heals. It's not about us. It's God's power through us. God calls us to lay our hands on the sick and to pray for them. And if we don't visually see it right then and there, that's fine. Because you're not. It's not always that way. It's in God's perfect will and God's perfect timing. When I was in Africa on my first mission trip, I went out and I prayed for someone. The one girl that I prayed for, she told me she got healed. Her friend saw it, prayed for her friend. Nothing happened to her friend. It's going to happen. But God needs us to have faith and lay our hands on the sick. Our job isn't to heal people. We'll walk away many times not seeing them healed because it's about God's will and God's perfect timing. And it's God's desire to heal them when he heals them. There's some things you're not always going to understand. It's not us. We can't just sit there. What if they don't get healed? What if they don't get healed? What if they think I'm crazy? People are going to think you're crazy. You have to embrace that. I'm sorry. So what if people don't get healed? It's reality. They're not always going to get healed. But when you pray for someone and you're bold enough to lay your hands on them and pray in Jesus' name, whether they get healed or not, you're still planting a seed. And they're not going to forget that seed. I always think of Polly. Always. I went and prayed for this person. I went and prayed. Whether they get better or not, when he prays for them, he's still planting that seed. And they think about that. Man, that guy was bold enough to come pray for me. Who is this Jesus guy? What is he all about? Polly's boldness is still going to plant a seed in those people's hearts, even if they don't get healed right then and there. When we pray for people, we will not be operating in fear. When we pray for people with boldness and faith, that crushes fear. Our faith will be increased. And we will become bolder and confident. Who we are, who are we to say that God isn't going to heal them tomorrow in the future? His perfect timing and his perfect will be done in other people's lives when we pray for them and go to God in prayer for whatever they may need. So I will end right now with a scripture. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. And that's Romans 12:9.
Good job. Were you able to do that with the video to show on the MapQuest from Buffalo to there? Did anybody do that or no? No. Okay. Forget that I even said that. They're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Thank you, Shandy. That was great. Shandy and I, we have traveled her first trip to Kenya, and then we were in Ireland, and now here, right? So three places. We had a team of 14 people on this trip, 12,000 miles, 12 hours difference, and I'm going to try to make this thing where I thought you were actually going to use some pictures, Shandy, but I guess no. And am I hitting the right button here, Jeffy? It's disconnected. Okay, just move the slide because we gotta move. One of the ladies on the trip at a dinner, move it again. Shandy, I think you were supposed to talk about these, but you took longer than you were supposed to, so I'm going to have to speed through it. Is it working yet? Oh, there's the kids at one of the orphanages. Beautiful, beautiful children with a destiny on their lives. Does this yet work, Jeff? Shandy with some more of the orphan kids. Is this working, Jeff? Yes or no? What? Make it work. Change it, Polly, will you? I don't know who that is. Is it working? More of the orphanage kids. These kids were so beautiful. Thank you, Jeff. You're so amazing. It's not working again. Move it. There was one of those moments when I just got to pray for the kids and just move it, Polly, this thing. Not you personally, Polly, the video. That's just the action. More of the orphan kids. That was in one of the church. Oh, I spoke to parents one night in this small little church. It was a real blessing. Go ahead, Paul. Same church. Go ahead, Paul. That is the church. That's Chuck Todd, and that's one of our interpreters, Stephen. That's the church there. Go ahead and change it, that I spoke in on Sunday. You're doubling up here. Go ahead again. That's another one of the churches that we spoke in. More of the orphan kids. Now you're cooking with gas, Paul. Keep on going there. That's another one of the days that we're praying for another group of orphanages. Man, Shandy's all over this thing here. Keep on moving here. Praying for the kids. Oh, dear Jesus. That's the pig, Sue, that Shandy's going to have in your house. One of the other girls with the kids praying for them. Yep. Hello. This is the Shandy. Are you going backwards? Keep on going. I don't know what that was. Some of the beautiful kids, aren't they just so beautiful? That's a backside. That's one of the orphanages there that we went to. Another one of the places that they live there. One of the days, I just had felt the Lord to hug the kids. Oh, that's a video? Go ahead and play that. I haven't even seen that one yet. Oh, that little boy. Oh, my God. I'm going to cry right now. I did not know she was videoing that at that time. That little boy. Oh, my goodness. I want to take him home with me. That little guy wrecked me. I got to keep it together here. I could fall apart. Is that a video too? Go ahead. That'll lighten it up.
So good with
check
fish.
This out. I'm right where she's roasting the beans. Look at that. And look at this grinder. Right? I'll learn how to do this. I had to show you this. This is another level of spirituality for me. She's grinding coffee beans.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Keep it going, Jeff. That is... I want to say Yoinky. Yoinky. That's his name. One arm He drove us around with a standard shift. Amen. Here's the thing in the marketplace that day where Shandy and Chantel were praying. Keep on going for the kids. That's a picture that was so common. See the whole family on the motorcycle. You got the husband in the middle, the wife in the back, and the kid on the front. More of the orphans there that are just so beautiful. Keep it going, Paul. I had to show you that. That is an Indonesian toilet. That's actually a nice one. Go ahead, Paul. That is Sumba. Have you ever heard of that, Lenny? That's the hot peppers all ground up. I got addicted to that. Go ahead. I love that. More of the kids that we were with one day. Go ahead, Paul. Video, go ahead. I don't know what that
is. Room.
Oh, that's my room.
My bed. Just the way the little thing is. TV that doesn't work. This little ladder here takes you up there. I guess people can sleep up on that thing. It does have a little fridge. A nightstand. Here's the bathroom. It does have a regular toilet. I haven't figured out what this thing here is yet. Shower in the corner. And sink. And that's it.
I usually take these and send them to Patty, but I wanted everybody to kind of see what it looked like. Oh, here's the door.
Latch. That's kind of, that's it. Okay.
There. That was one of the places. You got another one in there? This is a pastor that I met on the way over when I was at JFK. Another pastor friend of mine from Connecticut was coming through. I told him where I was going. He said, you have to meet my pastor friend, Pastor Don. I can't think of his last name. I have it now. But he left Rhode Island, a large church, 4 years ago. He and his wife went there, planted a church, and they have about 300 people coming on a regular basis. I told him we'd be sure to pray for him on a regular basis. Go ahead, Paul. Is that it? That is it? Yes? I want to tell you this one scripture, then I want to just leave you with these thoughts. You've heard it 100 times. When we talk about missions, Mark 16:14, the last thing he said, later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. This is the setting. Jesus is sitting at the table. He's got 11 disciples there. He rebukes them for their unbelief. Then he says to them, go into all the world. Preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. He said these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle deadly snakes with safety. If they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll lay their hands on the sick. They'll be healed. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Can you believe that the last thing before Jesus told or before he went to heaven and sat down next to the Father in heaven was to do the work of the ministry? That is what he's told us to do. And when we do it, he does great things. Let me just sow these 6 little thoughts into you about missions. They're not up on the screen. You just have to listen. Number one, you have to make a decision to go first. A lot of times people are looking for somebody else to already, you know, rise up and say, oh, they're going, okay, then I'll go. No, God wants you and I to be the leader in that. And if he's calling you to do something or to go somewhere, and it might not be into another country, but it could be somewhere. It could be at the picnic in the parking lot. He wants you to make the decision first. Number two, you have to make a decision. You have to decide, because not making a decision is a decision. Number three, you need others. We need one another. We need our brothers and sisters. We need people to help us, to guide us, to lead us. And God will use you in a powerful way in that. Number four, You got to take the next step in finding that dream for your life. It isn't so much about having this great epiphany all of a sudden and you know, having a halo or a light shine down from heaven and say, you know, oh, okay, now I'll go. I'm waiting for that to happen. No, it's about creating habits every day that will lead you into your destiny. That is good for somebody. You have to face the decision that you're going to make with courage. Man, we were at a leadership conference today, and one of the guys that was speaking, he says, make risk, encourage your friend. Don't be afraid of it. Make it your friend. And you have to make these decisions with great courage. And then lastly, I'm going to end with this. It's going to cost you. You guess what? It's going to cost you popularity. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Aren't you more popular? No. You'll lose people. People, I think Shandy said it, they will think you are out of your mind. You're out of your mind. People said to me, people that I speak with that aren't part of church, and I have, you know, I try to build relationships outside of church, and where'd you go? We went to Indonesia. Whoa, what for? On vacation? No, I went on a missions trip. You did what? You went all that ways on a missions trip? What kind of mission? I was helping people. I'm a pastor. I was sharing the good news of Jesus. I was hugging kids in orphanages and being a blessing. Well, that's different. That's okay. Well, whatever. I mean, you hear all kinds of things to your face. I wonder what people say behind your back. It'll cost you popularity. It'll cost you time. Dear Lord. Well, I could talk about that. It'll be late nights. It'll be early mornings. You'll be the first ones to arrive, the last ones that leave, and anything great that ever happens in your life is not free. Do I need to say that again? And if you want to write a quote down, you want to Twitter it, you want to Facebook it, anything great in your life that happens is not free. It is going to cost you. Amen. I want to say one more thing, because you're all family here tonight. Now, the reason that I don't get up and tell the world that I'm leaving town for 8 or 9 or 10 days, and when my wife isn't going with me, is because I don't want the world knowing that they can go to my house and know that I'm 12,000 miles away and do whatever they want. If you struggle with that, I just pray you'll understand that and get over it. If you can't get over it, it's just too bad, because that's the way it is. It's just a joke. But that's the reason why. So if you don't, I learned that because I never thought of that until a few years ago when we got broken into the first time. And then when we got broken into a second time, now I think about that. So that's the reason. So I love you. Oh, man, God bless this church for the great things that you're doing. We are going to be now on a mission and focused in this city, in this community. Things that are happening on the other side of town. God is doing some great things, and it's coming together in a greater fashion than I even thought possible. So let's pray together tonight. I'm so glad to see you tonight, and I'm so honored to have the leadership and the people in this house that serve on a regular basis. They're the best of the best, and I'm not just saying that. They really are. Father, tonight, just take a hand next to you if you're near somebody. Father, I thank you tonight for the love and the power that your Holy Spirit releases over your people. God, when we trust you, when we put our lives out there for you, Lord, you do great and mighty things. I pray for my brothers and my sisters tonight. Use them. Bless their lives, their families. Heal those that are sick in body, I pray tonight. Raise up, bring peace and health and hope to others, I ask tonight. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hey, I love you. Make sure you say hi to Shandy. Tell her thank you for sharing her life with the world, too.